Tu Yurder baba. That on the night of Leyli Berat, I just looked at you. You know, there are women, there are men, there are people in this dergah from four corners of the world, different cultures, different backgrounds, even different colors. And almost I was pleasantly shocked to see how everybody resembled everybody else, like brothers and sisters of the same family would have resemblance together, you know? I mean, that you could tell sometimes people are brothers and sisters, you know, from when you look at them. And it pleased me to no end. That sort of signifies one thing. The absence of ananiya, the absence of selfishness, the absence of arrogance, the absence of I am me, other than everybody else. I am better than everybody else. And that is something which is most unbecoming to a Muslim and certainly to a dervish. There are here people, I am sure, who know more than somebody else. There are people who may even look better than somebody else, younger, healthier than somebody else. But as I said, you know, in spite of all these differences, you know, that everybody somehow looked the same. And what is this sameness? For one thing, that already it's an extremely important thing, I think, in human evolution, that you can see the inside of somebody on their outside. But that is what is called sincerity, absence of hypocrisy. I mean, there is nobody who sort of sits up like this, you know. And it pleases me to no end. And I think it is really a sign of success that obviously we are doing something right. our life on this planet is really seriously, believe me, hopefully that all of you will live as long as I do, and inshallah much older, because one shouldn't be really in a hurry to go to the other side. Because the meaning of the life on the face of this planet is nothing more than preparing for the hereafter. And the time is very short. Blessed are those who came to this discipline early. That will give them a little bit more time to prepare. It seems quite abstract when that little writing on the wall, which he says hitch, it is, I think, a wonderful Turkish word, hiç. Nothing doesn't make it. How is it in Arabic?
La şey.
Doesn't make it really either. Hiç is very good. Hiç. No. I mean, it seems very abstract very conceptual to think that how somebody could be hit and nothing. We come and go. Some people who loved us and close to us remember us for a while, and not a trace is left after a while. In this world, it's from nothing to nothing to nothing. Blessed is the one who leaves a trace. Coming to Ramadan, I mean, I don't know about you, but I think that one of the nicest feeling precisely in Ramadan, one really feels lowly. I mean, definitely the worst of us feels much less cocky, you know, much less assertive, much less here, you know, than when we are full of food. I don't think it's the, we attributed of the lack of, if you want to, carbohydrate or energy or something which comes from eating food. I don't think it's that at all. It is the mystery, the blessing of Allah Ta'ala, and perhaps the most important thing in Ramadan, to feel less than what one was before Ramadan. And I think then one should really cherish that. Some people get very irate, you know, because all of a sudden you feel sort of like this, yeah. But there is nothing more beautiful. I see sometimes, look at each other, you know, inshallah, you know, the first day of Ramadan, especially the first day of Ramadan, because then eventually you get used to it, and look at each other, how somehow mellow everybody looks. And why can't we always be that mellow? How poor, how in need somehow one looks, just because we haven't eaten for, you know, 10 hours or so. And there is an ayat, I think in Surah Hashr, in which Allah Ta'ala praises those who prefer others over themselves, although they themselves are in need, they are stricken with poverty. So in this state of feeling nothing, that you feel compassion, to people who are in need, who are more nothing than you, you feel. It's absolutely against the animal nature. No animal would share his food with another animal. No animal will try to help any other animal. And when certain philosophies and so-called social systems, which people have concocted, such as capitalism, for instance, such as the importance of the individuality, such as everybody should take care of himself, which it seems to be dominant in our times, it seems a little strange to glorify, to be selfless, and to think of others even when you yourself are in need. I have been stressing for a while now the importance of being less selfish and the importance of considering others rather than oneself. And we should know by now that everything which Allah Ta'ala has made farz for us Muslims, and everything which Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said and did, which we call Sunnah, has two aspects. One without the other doesn't work at all. For instance, there is the usual obligation of making our prayers 5 times a day. If done properly, which we don't know how to do, or even if we know how to do, we are incapable of doing it, at least most of the time. If done properly, Rasulullah says that somebody who makes his prayers 5 times a day cannot sin, cannot do wrong things. In short, prayer is a defense mechanism individually for ourselves, selfish. No? That if I do it right, then I will do everything right, and that will, I will be fine. I will be protected against sinning against Allah Ta'ala. But then again, in another hadith, he says that to make our prayers 5 times a day in jama'at, all together, is much, much better than doing it by ourselves. Some say 60 or sometimes more times better if we do it in jama'at. Now, when we are in jama'at, you realize we don't say anything. It is the imam who does. And we do everything together. We stand up together, we go to ruku together, we go to sajda together. And imam recites and we say, Amin. What is Amin? We all agree with what he says. So there is a total agreement of the unit, total action together, and total obedience to whoever is the imam. So what is that? That is the social side of prayer, and the other one is the individual private side of the prayer. Zakat. Zakat is an extremely strong medication, it's a cure to cure one of the most horrible sickness which a human being can be afflicted with, that of stinginess, that of saying mine. It is my property, it is my money, it is my house. So again, it's very private. You know, I want to get rid of this sickness, I want to be cured. But then, on the other side, you give hard-won money to other Muslims who are in need. That is the social side of it. Hajj, which inshallah some of you are going to go soon, is an exercise of Yawmiddin, of the Day of Last Judgment. It's difficult, very difficult, necessitates a great deal of patience. But then, it really is an incredible process of purification and of cleansing. And in fact, those of us who have gone to the Hajj and Umrah, you remember, you know, when you come out of it, it's as if you have come out from a Turkish bath. You're all nice and clean. Yeah? It only lasts a few days, and then we get dirty again. So, okay, again, it's like going to a Turkish bath. You know, it is personal to clean yourself and to make yourself happy and nice and peace. Huh? But what is it there? Now you see from all over the world, your brothers of every shape and form and speaking every language on the face of the planet, they are all together doing the same thing. They hug each other, they kiss each other, they run together in the Sa'i, they make their tawaf together. In the Arafat, it's almost the world shakes when everybody makes their sajda together. And in Ramadan, there is no question, it is perhaps the most important form of ibadat of all and everything. It's a purification process. It's a self-understanding process. It brings you closer to your Lord because it makes you understand that you are totally in need . But the social side of it is that you are experiencing something which millions of people, maybe tens of millions of people, are suffering not only in Ramadan, but all their lives. Hunger. Dying of hunger. You see it in the TV in Africa, children, skin and bone, dying out of hunger. So you feel a little bit of that yourself. Therefore, I really think that in this Ramadan, in addition of being more careful so that it is not just hunger which we feel, but so that we feel our smallness, our being in need, not in need of the food which immediately is satisfied during the iftar, but in need of Allah Ta'ala in everything. We should also try as much as we can to help others who are in need. It has been brought to my attention some very nice hadith and also a prayer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I never knew, but I sort of found the other day, which I said today at the end of our prayer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray, O Lord, give me and my people no more than what we need. Now when I use this hadith, this prayer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Friday, one of you, after the Friday prayer, he said that he was a little bit shocked when I prayed like that. And I'm sure you too are a little bit irked. Oops, just what I need, nothing more. Oh my God. Shame on us. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that Shaitan al-Lain says that the rich will not be safe from him because of three things. The Shaitan will make them live in fear of losing what they have. Doesn't that sound familiar? Two, the Shaitan al-Lain will push them to gather riches while tyrannizing other people who may be even poor and needy themselves. Three, the Shaitan al-Lain will make them love what they own so they cannot part with it. Maybe we are not rich, but to me, these three influences of Shaitan al-Lain seems to be familiar in one time or another in my life. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the generous person is close to Allah Ta'ala, he is close to heaven, and he is close to man and beast. And he is far from health. While the miser is kept far from Allah, far from heaven, and certainly devoid of the love of the people around him, and is in hell already in this world. A person who is lacking in devotion but generous is closer to Allah Ta'ala than the miser who prays day and night. And Hazrat Aisha reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the ones who are loved by Allah Ta'ala are created generous. In another hadith, Rasulullah said, "Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah." The world is the field which you plant the seed and you harvest it in the hereafter. I think it is time that we should not worry about our sustenance. That doesn't mean that we should sit on our behinds and not work. Because Allah Ta'ala says that you will not receive anything unless you try. Allah Ta'ala is Ya Razzaq and He is Kareem and Ghani, and all of us, we certainly receive much more than what we need and much more than what we work for. But it is time now for us to think of others more than we think of ourselves. Although it means not much, I have asked you already last week that we should pay our zakat before waiting till the end of Ramadan. Another thing, a funny thing, on Friday, is the Imam who wasn't there when I was giving the khutbah, and he said, "What did you talk about the khutbah?" And I said that I asked people for money. And I told the people that I don't ever ask for money from the people on Friday, neither from you, come to think of it. But just the word money, there is a Turkish saying, "Para isteme benden, buz gibi soğurum senden." Don't ask money from me, I will be as cool and cold towards you as ice. Huh? So, and I said that to the Jamaat on Friday, and then, "Where is Yusuf? Not here tonight." Yusuf reported afterwards that he said it was really true. Even he himself was irked a little bit, you know. So I'm not asking you, if you are free to do it or if you don't want to not to do it. And you must have seen outside that we sent money to feed people in Gaza, in Afghanistan, in Kosovo, in Bosnia. And I would like to continue. So, if you can pay your zakat. Salaam alaikum. Wa alaikum salaam. in the old days there used to be young, energetic, little bit sort of fiery people amongst us, and when they were hungry they used to be angry and mean, and instead of making hearts they used to break hearts during the Ramadan. And at those days I used to ask people, if you are going to break hearts of anybody, you might as well break your fast and eat, you know, because not only it cancels your fast, but I mean, in addition, I think that you sin in Ramadan more than, I mean, if you sin in Ramadan than in ordinary days, I think that Allah Ta'ala, you know, multiplies it. Well, I don't say that anymore because I know that you don't do it anymore to your wives and to your husbands and to your children or to your parents. I'm just asking you to be generous to the people who are in need. See, I brought even my checkbook with me today. Akşam olmadı daha, değil mi? Vallahi olmadı. Yani imagine in Ramadan we wouldn't have still eaten by now.
İki tane mezun gencimiz var. Onlara hediyelerini.
Aha, evet. Evet, now we have some graduates here from. Is anybody here who has graduated from college here?
Hangisi?
Nobody is here.
Bilal.
Then we should keep their gifts. We should sell them. Hanımlara ayrı yanlış verme bari.
Renklerine göre zunlar paketler. Hanımlar
kim var?
Pembe. Romano ile. You're graduating high school. Congratulations. And well. Adam, Gray, Manting. So we have Romana and Adam.
Nerede peki bunlar?
Buradalar.
Niye gelmiyorlar?
Approach to the bench, please. Romana, yeah.
Congratulations. As I said, you are the lucky ones who started this business early. It necessitates a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of intention. There is another hadith-i kudsi which Allah Ta'ala addresses the world, and he says, O world, if my servant serves me and doesn't get distracted by you while he is living on you, be a devoted servant to him or her and help them. But if my servant chooses to be your servant, O world, be a terrible, vicious master to him.
Thank you.
The world is going to tempt you to forget him, to forget Allah Ta'ala, and to give all your attention and time to it. To resist it, you need the help of Allah Ta'ala, and that you will receive only if you work in His name for His sake. And remember your Islam and practice your Islam. Otherwise, the world is going to obey to Allah Ta'ala and will be a vicious master to you. Bu kime?
Zeynep'e. Rabbin kabinede kalıcı bitirmiş. Congratulations.
Hepsi bu kadar.
Daha var. Ama gelen
yoklar burada. Yok. Kim var?
Adam var. Adam Holland.
Adam Holland.
Başka Mustafa'nın kızı var.
Kim var kızım?
Mustafa
Philadelphia'dan Mustafa'nın kızı var.
Aha.
Ayşe Holland'ın oğlu Adam var.
Ayşe Holland yok mu burada bugün? Yok.
Yok. Vasık yok mu burada?
Annesi yok. O kimin?
Buna Vasa vereceğiz. Vasa mı olur?
Söz konuyorsan.
Congratulations. How many? Two left.
By the way, ezan bozuk, sen yoktun tabi. ezan çıkmıyor.
No, it's now, yeah.
Niye?
Bilmiyorum.
Computer is working. It's not working.
It was all while you were gone. It went. Somebody messed up with it and.
It's 29.
It's working.
Your program is at 29.
Yeah.
The children are growing, they are finishing school, and what grade is Rana now?
Six.
What?
Sixth.
Sixth grade, wow.
Sixth grade or sixth grade?
What?
Last year or next year?
Next year, sixth.
It seems that Boris has a child, I heard.
Yes, according to the grapevine, not the precious man.
A girl?
Yes, yes.
Has anybody seen them?
Jeanette.
Why?
Jeanette
delivered.
Jeanette delivered?
Yes.
Noni?
Jeanette is there.
Did they have a home birth or hospital birth?
Home birth.
babacığım. Selim was there.
I was there, babacığım. Elhamdülillah, beautiful homework. Right at the time of akşam, after akşam namazı, Berat gecesi.
Maşallah. Ya demek pretty children.
Huge.
Ne dedi?
9 pounds.
Big one. Yeah. Well.
Look who's here. Look who's here. Look who's here. Look who's here. Look who's here.
Well.
Look who's here. There.
Çayı namazdan sonra herhalde. Çayı geri gönderdim ama.
İyi yaptın.